You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson.
Litter Box listeners, welcome back to your favorite Detroit Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Billy P, with my co-host, Chet West, and we've had some highs basically the last 2 weeks up until the last three games, which we're now experiencing lows. And of course, of all places, it had to come in the middle of the summer, or end of the summer, I guess, but heat in a minor league park in Sacramento as the Tigers lost three straight to the Athletics, who shall remain nameless. Chet, this is as frustrated as I've been all year. I think you share that. So why don't you give me some of your thoughts on this? Because this was just an ugly series.
Everything looked like it was on cruise control until the sixth inning of game one. And the wheels completely came off and it just turned into a circus from there on out. First and foremost, we alluded to the fact that going out west at this time of year was going to be troublesome, and boy, was it ever. We got swept by a team that's about 10 games under 500. They have talent all over this roster. They got some young guys, Jacob Wilson, Nick Hertz, Lawrence Butler, Brent Rooker, all guys. Shane Langeliers has been absolutely on fire. All guys that are great with the bat. The pitching has always been kind of the question mark, and we sort of mocked that we were going up against some guy named JT Ginn. Well, JT held us to three runs and K'd us eight times. We hit him pretty hard, but couldn't get more than that across the plate. And Tarek looked like your normal garden variety Tarek until the sixth inning. Gave up a run, came back out for the seventh, got lit up for five more. We had a 3-0 lead going into the bottom of the sixth, and that you have Tarek Skubal on the mound. That's usually a W. Bill, I don't like these series. Way out on the other side of the country, on the other coast, late in the season, in the dog days of summer, but also the dog days of the baseball season. Your thoughts?
It was a rough 8-3 loss. Skubal was good for six innings, and then for two-thirds of an inning, he was uncharacteristically awful. The Tigers also started a trend in this game where they committed two errors, and we're talking errors are routine mistakes, but these were really, really, really silly self-inflicted wounds. And essentially, one of, you know, the really good A's players, Shane Langeliers, hit his second career grand slam, and the Athletics won 8-3. And both teams had 10 hits. One just did a much better job with runners in scoring position. It's a game. If the Tigers don't get a spot in terms of getting a first round bye in the American League and do have to play a three game set against somebody, This is going to be one of the games that will really come back to bite them and will stand out to me. Game two is even more frustrating, Chet. It went 10 innings and the Tigers lost 7-6. It was there for the taking. And again, the Tigers seemed to be, I don't want to say sleepwalking, but I can't think of a better term. It just seemed like they were jet lagged. It seemed like their body clocks weren't in the right position. They committed two errors again. They allowed 10 hits again, only had nine themselves. It just wasn't good. Uncle Charlie Morton wasn't really himself.
Is this the game where Charlie Morton comes back to bite us? I mean, he gives up five runs in the first three. You can't do this. If you're a good team with good pitching, you cannot do this as often as we do. It seems like every series we spot a team five or six runs in the first two or three innings.
Yeah, except for the previous 2 weeks when we didn't.
And we won.
And they looked really good. I mean, if we have to give any kudos to game two, it's got to be Troy Melton was awesome for three innings. Struck out one, only allowed a hit. His ERA is down to 2.60. Kyle Finnegan struck out three in one inning of work. He's still been a revelation. Concerning outside of Uncle Charlie was that Will Vest only made it a third of an inning and was terrible. One hit, one earned run, and he walked three was the problem, Chet.
I mean, very unfortunate if Will Vest chooses September to be his, like, bad month of the year.
Yeah, that would be awful. That would just be awful.
Charlie Morton got hit pretty darn hard in this game. Shane Langeliers had three hard hit balls off and went 3-for-5, did a ton of damage to us in this series. Don't forget guys like Tyler Soderstrom, You know, Daryl Hernandez are not bad hitters by any stretch. Like, these guys can do damage too. So their lineup is accomplished. You can't just roll Charlie Morton out there and expect results because they're a below 500 team. But Oswaldo Beto was there for the taking, and we got 3 hits, 4 runs off him, but we struggled. The bullpen held us in check. I mean, they didn't allow that much damage, whereas we got Will Vest giving up 2 runs late. That's troublesome. Troy Melton, would you like to see him start?
Yes, I absolutely would.
Is this a guy you'd like to see get slotted into the rotation? I mean, I think he's had one suspect outing so far. And his first start was a little rocky, which is to be expected, his first career start. Outside of that, he has been lights out.
Yes, because I do think he has a high ceiling and has shown us a lot. Part two of that is we know who else is out there. And it's not looking too good. I mean, if I had a dime for every text message that my co-host sent me complaining about, up, here goes Chris Paddock again, or here goes Uncle Charlie again, I wouldn't be a wealthy man, but I would have a few dimes. The Tigers looked lifeless yesterday. A 7-0 loss, and it just felt like, to me, this team couldn't wait to get out of Sacramento quickly enough. Any thoughts on that before I do a food review of the ballpark? They're calling it the ballpark.
Game 3, Casey Mize came on, and we'd gotten so used to Casey Mize giving us 5 1/3, 5 2/3, and 3 runs. And this time he got lit up and spotted the other team 4 runs in the first 2 innings. Ended up giving up 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 Ks. They hit him pretty hard. Same guys doing all the damage. As a matter of fact, Zach Geloff got in on this one. He's not even a good hitter. He's batting in the 9 spot, and he still went 2 for 4. So I don't think Casey had his stuff. Even if he did, we couldn't scratch a run across against Luis Morales, who just absolutely threw us. 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. So we couldn't solve Luis Morales. We hit him hard. We hit him plenty hard. We couldn't get anything done. So, again, a lot of guys that maybe we aren't familiar with all the way out on the West Coast, some of these pitchers, maybe they're a little better. We could look and dig into the stats. I don't care. We're done with the Sacramento A's or whatever we're calling them at this point, playing in a minor league ballpark. Weird series late in the season. I'm chalking it up to the time changes. I'm chalking it up to the travel. I'm chalking it up to the dog days. I'm expecting them to come out a little hotter this coming weekend, and we'll see if we can get a couple W's across against KC.
Yeah, I'm expecting an uptick and the Tigers to play much better against the Royals, who they're very comfortable with. The final 3 games against the Royals in Kauffman Stadium, and let's hope for retribution. Because this series was ugly. And it reminded me when earlier in the season when the Tigers had to head to Tampa Bay. And you and I both said, boy, the bullpen's overutilized. The injuries are mounting. This is a series that isn't going to go well. And you and I echoed that same thought process for this series, and unfortunately it came to fruition.
Was that the series where Skubal was pitching in the rain?
Yes.
And he kind of threw a little bit of not a tantrum about it, but he got a little emotional about it and was kind of like, this is a downpour and I'm out here throwing. It's tough to hit the ball. I seem to remember some of this. And that series that seems like an eternity ago, Bill.
It does.
We've done many an episode since then.
Yeah. Here's the parallel, though, between those two series. It's the 2 times that the Tigers had to play in a minor league park. And shame on Major League Baseball. For the Rays, that was a God-given disaster. You know, weather that tore the roof off of Tropicana Field. I'm not excusing the Rays for playing in a terrible ballpark, but you cannot blame Mother Nature for it. Good for the Yankees for lending Steinbrenner Field, and everybody did the best they could.
Sure.
What the Athletics are doing is just inexcusable. And as I segue into food, I'm on the A's website, and the top masthead and banner says Vegas is pitch perfect. Visit Vegas in the Oakland Athletics or Vegas Athletics green. You know how they have that really classic green color. And it just, it just rubs me the wrong way. Like, Oakland, they supported that team through thick and thin. And a weird one, in 1991, the Oakland A's had the largest payroll in baseball. And since then, it's just been a steady dive off a cliff.
Different ownership then? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
When much did different they, ownership. When did, that's an interesting factoid, though.
That's two owners ago. It's not even Fisher or Steve Schott. It was the previous ownership group on that. And they had some big names then. Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco. Ricky Henderson was probably doing one of his mini tours through Oakland.
I try to do these, you know, I try to go around and I'm not trying to steal your thunder on the food, but I try to go around and figure out what people are talking about at the ballpark and what they can eat. And I stumbled across, I think it was a Reddit thread from about a year ago. So it was their last season in the Coliseum, right? And this guy was like, hey, I'm a Mariners fan. I'm going down to watch the A's and Mariners play this weekend. What do you guys reckon? What are the can't miss foods at the Coliseum? First response, 80% of the concession stands are closed. The ones that are left have nothing outside of traditional variety. Pick up food somewhere else and bring it in if you can. That's sort of the downfall of your baseball club right there. When somebody gives a review like that, that the stadium experience is so bad, it's like my grandmother taking candy into the movie theater from the outside because she can't get what she wants in there and it's way too expensive for the basic garbage. At any rate, I found that interesting and funny.
We used to go to A's games quite a bit when we lived out in the Bay Area, and they were very competitive in that time, you know, the heyday mm-hmm. Moneyball yeah, and Billy yeah. Bean. And we would always bring our own food in, and everybody we knew would bring, we'd bring burritos in, we'd bring deli sandwiches, because the food was possibly the worst I've ever experienced at a ballpark. Ironically, the beer selection was light years ahead of its time. They had Pyramid, was like a craft brewery. I don't know what happened to it. I don't think they're around anymore, but they had two like flagship stations yeah. or stands there. And then they had a host of other, you know, Sierra Nevada, Anchor Steam, all sorts of good stuff. So interesting that they couldn't get the food right, but they always got the alcohol right.
They needed to get their fans drunk so they didn't have to sit through the hell that was their lineup these days.
This comes from a friend and ex-coworker of mine that lives in the Sacramento area. And so I texted him and he got back to me with what he has been eating this season at the ballpark. That's just what they call
the ballpark. Okay.
And I think you're going to be pretty intrigued with this. It's new for this year, and it is a bacon-wrapped hot dog featuring roasted jalapenos, pinto beans, crema, and pico de gallo on a Martin's potato bun.
We got crema on a hot dog?
Yeah. So okay. It's a little bit Sonoran dog-ish, you know, the bacon wrap part of it, the pinto beans. Jalapenos being roasted, not fresh, is a little different. The crema on it's a little different, and so is the pico de gallo. But that's where you want to go. You want to go to the Bridges Grill at the ballpark, and you want to order yourself the bacon-wrapped A's dog, is what they're calling it. So thanks.
Interesting. That's fabulous.
Thanks, buddy Matt, for sending that over. Outside of that, he said, it's pretty much like going to a game at the Coliseum. You can bring your own food in and skip it.
Seems to be the tip. Seems to be everybody's tip.
Unfortunately, he said the craft beer selections and cocktail selections didn't travel westward to Sacramento, and he said it's pretty much a Bud and Bud Light facility now.
On the website, the Bridges Grill, they have all their like dining options below for the A's eateries here in the ballpark.
Yeah.
It says Bridges Grill. Our specialty items include crispy chicken tenders and fries. No wonder people are bringing stuff in from the outside. Like, goodness gracious. So anyhow,
let's
what do you want to bet those are boxed and just heat it up in a microwave?
Definitely. Well, they might have a deep fryer there. Maybe.
That's true. Maybe. We should give them a little bit of credit.
Yeah. Let's flash forward the weekend series. I know you are going to be glued to either your radio or television set because we've got a Chris Paddock sighting Friday evening, and he's going up against the Royals ace, Seth Lugo.
I want to be enthused.
I would love to be, but I don't like that matchup whatsoever.
You know what would, in, would what would actually excite me a little bit is if Paddock could string another good start together here. If we could get two in a row and we start seeing good Paddock, I don't even know what good Paddock looks like. I don't know how long it's been since good Paddock has been around, but he wasn't bad in his last start. He was good. So maybe we just use that as the benchmark for good Paddock. Seth Lugo, you know, his underlying metrics here are not good at all. He has some of the worst. I mean, if you go on Baseball Savant and take a look at his MLB percentile rankings, it's all blue, which is bad, like poor. So there is nothing that tells me that he should be competing. He has an 8-6 record with about a 4 ERA, but I got a feeling we should be able to hit this guy pretty well.
Let's hope so, because Saturday's going to be even, I guess, more crazy in the fact that we've got Jack Flaherty on the hill for us. I'm still seeing to be determined for the Royals. Who knows? Do you think we get good Jack or bad Jack this time?
Well, this is just, there's the question. I mean, it's been so up and down with him.
I'm gonna go good Jack for no reason other than to just go the opposite direction. You know, I mean,
he has some decent metrics. Like he's got many are bad. People are barreling him up pretty bad because he, you know, when his breaking ball doesn't break, that's when things go south for him. But he's got a good chase and whiff and K rate. So it's like that breaking ball is everything.
He becomes very one-dimensional.
Yeah. He becomes very one-dimensional and he becomes very hittable at that point. And I'm assuming in that game, we're going to get somebody like Ryan Burgert or something to go up against.
Ooh, that's a good name.
It's a good name. He's got Burger in the name. So, pitcher that has an edible last name to a degree. I don't know that those two back-to-back excite me a heck of a lot. I mean, that's a lot of inconsistency in our starting pitching staff going back-to-back this weekend.
And this goes full circle back to why Troy Melton is a better option.
There we are. You set that up very well. You waited and you waited and you dove in with Troy Melton.
Let's see it.
We're going to get Scooble on Sunday to hopefully shut the door.
Against Michael Wacha.
Yep.
Who, his record, Wacha's that is 8-10, but his ERA is not terrible. It's 3.39. I'm a little befuddled how this Royals team is 69-65. They've won two straight. They're 8.5 back at the Tigers. I'm looking up and down this lineup, and outside of Bobby Witt Jr., I'm not seeing a lot of talent. Are you? What am I missing here?
I mean, you've got some okay pitching coupled with some below average offense, more than likely. I mean, Bobby Witt is kind of it. I'd be curious to see. Bobby Witt is kind of it. That's good. We're rhyming. I would be curious to see what would happen if Bobby Witt was not in the lineup. I think they'd have a massive void there. Wacha hasn't been hittable. That's the thing about Wacha, and he absolutely flummoxed us the last time we went up against him. So I have a feeling he may be challenging, and Scooble might get another duel on Sunday here. We'll see. But yeah, I'm looking across their lineup. It's like Vinny Pasquantino, he's all right. He does okay. Yastrzemski does okay. Mikel Garcia's had a pretty darn good season for himself. And then Bobby Witt. And after that, it's like Sal Perez, old man Perez. Jonathan India can do a little damage, but isn't anybody to write home about.
Well, hold on. Let's pause on Jonathan India. What does he put in those flowing locks of his? Is that Crisco, baby oil? Is that gel? I mean,
you know what? One of a segment we could add to this whole thing is picking out a guy on the opposing team with wonderful, luxurious hair.
Okay.
And going through what we think his prep routine is every day. I think he's putting something like shaving cream in there. I think he's doing something like 1950s-ish to get that stuff like good and greased up.
Motor grease or something? Because it looks wet the entire game.
I think he does like a shaving cream treatment with like some sort of a shine, like a sheen, a finish,
soul
like a
polish.
Maybe a polish of some sort that he runs through it.
No, I think it's Soul Glow from Coming
He's
to America.
Soul Glow?
No,
in
I'm
it?
Teasing. I'm teasing.
Didn't but, they have a song? Yeah, they have a song.
Yeah,
yeah.
Soul Glow, so let your soul glow.
Yes.
Let it all shine through.
I thought you were going to sing it for a minute. That was going to be art. That was going to be artsy.
Yeah. All right. That's about all I have on this. Tigers, we need you to win a series for us here.
All right. Drop something in the comments if you guys know what Jonathan India is putting in his hair. If any of you long-haired people understand the concept of slicking back that much hair, I don't have enough to slick back. I'm not 100% sure.
Do you think we have that many male listeners with that long of hair?
That's an excellent question. I don't know. I believe most of our listener group is between the 45 and 60 range. So I don't know if they're letting it grow out. I mean, if they've got any hair at this point,
yeah,
maybe, but let's see what we get back. Maybe we'll get some, commentary back. Maybe somebody knows what Jonathan India is putting in his hair, but
I'd love it.
You know, until then, everybody enjoy the Royals series and let's hope we get a couple games here. We could use 2 out of 3. I say 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
Here we go. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.